All right, AJ, we got a surprise for you. Okay, Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fog. You know, AJ's going to be in a box Thursday into Friday, 24 hours, no sleep, to raise money for kids for the toy drive.
Right.
And he'll be listening to this song over and over on an endless loop for 24 hours. And on the phone right now is Jay Siegel, the lead vocalist for the Tokens. He sang this. This is him.
Oh, Jay.
Jay.
What are you doing, man?
Good morning.
Well, good morning, guys.
Morning.
It's nice to talk to you.
That sounded like me, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar. Yeah.
Very familiar, yes.
Very familiar, yes. How you doing, guys? How's everything?
Good.
Good.
Give us a little history on that song.
The history of this song, how did I ever come to record that weird song in 1961 when that was way against the market and nothing was like that on the radio? Well, let's see. I was still in high school, actually, and I was listening to the radio, and I heard something on the radio by a group called the Weavers. The Weavers were one of the premier folk groups of the 1950s with Pete Seeger, and they had recorded a live album at Carnegie Hall, and one of the songs that they played on the radio was called "Wimaway." And I just was taken by that song and the falsetto, the way Pete Seeger was singing that falsetto, and I just loved the melody, and I was able to do that as well. I had the ability to sing that song, you know, in my falsetto voice, and I would teach it to my friends, and we get a group together in high school, and we'd sing it just for fun, and for fun, it turned out to be a big hit record in 1961 when we played it for our producers at RCA, and they thought that had a shot of possibly becoming a hit record, where the other three guys in the group, the Tokens, they really didn't think so, because it was so against the market and there was nothing out there like that. But I said, let's give it a shot, let's put it out, maybe this will strike a vein. And in 4 weeks it went to number one.
4 weeks.
In 4 weeks it shot up the charts to number one. It stayed on the national charts for 3 months, and then it became a number one record in 36 countries all over the world.
Jesus.
And here's four kids from Brooklyn traveling all over the world, and people knew who we were. We were in the newspaper. They knew our names, and it was very surreal. From for four guys from Brooklyn and landing in Zurich, Switzerland, and everybody knows who we are.
I just want everyone to know what light speed 4 weeks was in 1961. Because people had to actually leave their house, go to a store, buy the record.
Exactly, right.
They had to hear it on the radio.
Did, yeah.
There was no, it's the internet and everyone buys it,
they
and it takes 4 weeks. That was record speed. Do you remember in 1961 when your song was going up the charts, some of the songs that it was topping and the artists that it was topping, and you're like, whoa, we just beat Elvis or whoever. Were there other songs?
That's a question that I don't think I've ever been asked before. But God, I don't remember. But it was most of the R&B groups.
Phil's
there were artists
right
at that time like Perry Como and Steve Lawrence and people like that. And,
but you guys should beat them.
Yeah,
we just shot over all of them, and it was actually we were very fortunate to be on RCA Victor, which was a label that was an international label, and that's how we got to travel the world.
JC
before the
on.
Beatles, before the Rolling Stones, and it was just a four American guys, just traveling all over the world, and it was. I think I would have appreciated it more now than I did then. Then it was like, it was just very weird back then. But
don't think it's going to end,
yeah.
Right? When you're a kid and you just sing a song, and then the next thing you know, you're opening for the Beatles. You don't think, well, I should appreciate this now.
We did open for the Beatles, actually,
yeah.
and at the New York Paramount, and the master of ceremonies for that show at that time was Ed Sullivan.
Wow.
Jeez.
And we opened for the Beatles, and I was so excited to hear the Beatles, and I heard nothing.
Right.
I heard screaming kids for 20 minutes.
How did
and
their
screaming
audience...
kid, amazing. And when they left the stage, they were screaming for another 10 minutes.
How did their audience react to you guys?
You know something? There were about four or five acts on the on that show. It was a big it was a fundraiser for a muscular dystrophy, I believe. And we were the only act on that show that they act the audience actually listened to us. And we you know, we thought, oh, we're dead, because everybody who walked on that stage, kids were screaming, "We want the Beatles, we want the Beatles." But we stepped out there and we sang Lion Sleeps Tonight. They all sang with us every word,
that's
and
amazing.
it was really something.
Well, you're also from Brooklyn, yeah. Probably like don't take. Don't
Do
take
we
kids.
Know what was number two when Lion Sleeps Tonight was number one?
They were number one at the end of the year. This is the song they knocked off the number one spot.
Holy crap!
Oh, see, that needs to go anyway. That needs to go anyway.
Holy crap!
That's funny because the Beatles recorded that song as well.
That's right.
You know, yeah. Well, so we knocked off the Marvelettes knocked us off, or we knocked them off.
You knocked them off,
right?
We did. I'm sorry. I appreciate. You know, we know those girls, and I'll give them a public apology now for doing that.
They're listening right now.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Do you ever run into like Frankie Valli? Because I imagine Frankie Valli would be like, "Wow, I thought I hit high notes."
Yeah, no, we worked with Frankie Valli many times with the original Four Seasons, and I don't think there's any act that we haven't worked with. You know, with all the iconic acts of rock and roll, we've worked with Little Richard, we've worked with Chuck Berry, we've worked with Jerry Lee Lewis,
Metallica,
the Four Tops. We've worked with everybody, you know, and it's really something that when we do these multi-act shows, we all get backstage and it's like a high school reunion because we've grown up with these acts in the business, and it's so great to see everybody. We have so many stories to share.
Jay, can you still hit that high note?
Not now. Wait a second. That's just for you guys.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
I got chills. That was real.
I have to go
it was
get
so
a drink
high,
now.
Your phone couldn't take it. Overmodulated.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Believe it or not, and people, I don't know how I do this, and people say, I still sing that song in the same key that I recorded it in 1961.
And so
they said, well, how do you do that? I said, I don't know. It just comes out.
Yeah.
It just comes out.
Don't
when it stops
why.
Coming out, I'll stay home.
Can
exactly.
we? Are we going to talk to you later this week on Friday or Thursday?
Friday.
Well, I understand it was Friday morning about the same time. And
so I have a million more questions for you. Like a million.
Like literally.
Okay, just give me one more. Go ahead.
I don't know.
How did I get together? How did the group start? How did we get our name? Who was in the group in the original? You want to know who was the original guy that started the group?
Well, I know Neil Sedaka.
He was the one. Neil Sedaka was the, he's the guy that started the group in Lincoln High School in Brooklyn, New York.
You know what
I'm saying? Yeah.
I want to get to that later. I know I got to let you go, but I wanted to know what I'm going to ask you about on Friday, and here's the tease for that.
No math.
Is this fake video of you guys singing. Back then, the record company would say, all right, you go stand here on this stage, and we're going to record you acting like you're singing to the song.
Oh, you mean lip syncing?
Yes.
Lip syncing. I have a million questions.
The first time we ever did that I was so nervous was when we did American Bandstand.
Wow.
You know.
Oh, Dick Clark. Right.
Oh, we did Bandstand about three or four times, it was very nerve wracking to lip sync. You had to be, you had to be precise, and the way the Lion Sleeps. We've done other records on Bandstand. Our first record was Tonight I Fell in Love. That was our first big national hit record, and we had Portrait of My Love, which was we had about maybe 10 or 12, records on the national chart.
Oh yeah, you guys were thinking like this song just stands out. It still lives today. It's still very popular today. Used in movies. A million groups have remade it or recorded it.
Oh, yeah, Well, The Lion King, when that first came out, that was good. Because, RCA Victor, they re-released our record some 40 years later, and it became a worldwide hit for the second time in a row. And then we of course, acquired a brand new audience of five-year-old kids, because there's every five-year-old kid knows the Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Ashley's a five-year-old and a 31-year-old
father. Yes, that was me. Big fan.
And the 81-year-olds.
That's right.
This is a record that the lion never sleeps. It just will never sleep. It'll just keep on going on and on and on.
We got to let you go, but we'll talk to you Friday, and we really appreciate you coming on. It's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you very much, guys, and thanks for playing our music, and you're doing a great thing with this toy drive, and I hope I can help.
Thank you, Jay. We'll talk to you Friday.
All right, we'll speak to you on Friday.
Sounds good, Jay. Thank you.